Welcome to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Paul Lawrence, a partner at PricewaterhouseCoopers and the co-chair of the Endowment for the Business of Government. We created the Endowment in 1998 to encourage discussion and research into new approaches to improving government effectiveness. Find out more about the Endowment by visiting us on the web at endowment.pwcglobal.com. The Business of Government Hour features a conversation about management with a government executive who is changing the way government does business. Our conversation this morning is with Mark Foreman, Associate Director for Information Technology and E-Government in the Office of Management and Budget. Good morning, Mark.
Good morning.
And joining us in our conversation is another PwC partner, Dave Carr. Good morning, Dave.
Good morning.
Well, Mark, let's begin by talking about the Office of Management and Budget. And I'm curious, could you describe for us the management side of OMB?
Very rapidly, this administration is changing the whole notion of OMB. So it's hard anymore to differentiate OMB budget from management. In essence, for the last several decades, office management budget has focused on budget. And the typical approach, we had a policy priority, money was spent on that policy, and then the agencies would figure out how to manage. This administration, largely because of the president's background and Mitch Daniels' background as the director of OMB, we've inverted that. So the policy priorities are set, we figure out how to manage it, that priority, and then we figure out how much money do we need to manage that priority successfully. So OMB management is now surfacing as the primary function. It's management of the budget. And of course, that does carry the traditional budgetary functions with it. But basically, we're focusing on driving results out of programs, out of the budget. Productivity is my key focus on the management side. Management side is largely comprised of the focus on financial management, the focus on e-government and IT, the focus on human capital. That's very integrated with the budget, obviously, because, as you know, in any organization, your money, your people, those are key parts of your assets. And the last piece of the puzzle that's important to understand, past administrations have focused on government reform by trying to do several thousand initiatives. This administration is very focused on a five-part management agenda, and that's run out of the Office of Management and Budget.
Could you tell us more about the office you lead, the Office of Information Technology and E-Government?
I think we all have realized over the last 10 years that government is information intensive. And so all the revelations, all the newness in the way people do their work in information technology deployments through the management of information, the way we drive productivity in the economy, really can be brought to bear in the federal government. And we spend now, this year will probably be $50 billion. That's dramatically increased, almost doubled over the last few years. In that realm, we're not seeing the productivity improvement. So my office was created to manage that president's management agenda item called e-government by driving the federal information technology investment so as to drive more productivity, more results for government programs and the mission of the federal government.
Could you tell us a little bit about the office? I mean, you just mentioned huge numbers in the billions. How do you do all that?
We have a staff of roughly 30 people. We rely heavily in supplementing our staff on detailing in people from different agencies or rotating them in. Basically, I was hired to put in place the governance structure. How are we going to manage this $52 billion IT investment? So we do that with a small cadre of very specialized expertise. And we work very tightly, very closely with the folks more closely aligned to the agencies, the what we call resource management officers, the traditional budget examiners, who now increasingly have a management role. Last year, as an example, in the agency budget process, we received on September 10th budgets from all the departments and agencies. Of course, there was an increase in IT, and that increase grew after September 11th. So by the time that we looked across agencies and all the IT investments, we were able to do the first ever IT strategy for the federal government. In looking at that, we found a significant portion of large investments, and we had 2,900 large investments, did not have a business case. So we told the agencies, we're sorry, we made the policy fairly clear, no business case, no money. And the point was to drive IT investments to a clear audit trail How is that IT investment going to change the management, change the processes, the business processes of key programs so as to lead to an improvement in program performance? When they were able to do that and put that into a business case, we're willing to fund it. And so we told them no money, no business case. 6 weeks later, 900 business cases showed up. Obviously, with 30 people in the time that we had to put together the budget, it's very difficult to go through that many business cases. But we have over 500 people at OMB. And by working as a team between the specialized expertise in my group and the folks that work directly day in, day out with each of the agencies, we're able to go through those 900 business cases, the 2,000 other major or what we call significant IT investments, and ensure that the IT money is aligned with the mission performance improvement in the agencies. It's very much a team-based. Now, a key part of the governance structure I've seen, not just in the U.S. federal government, but in the experience I had before coming to government, as others were trying to bring up their cadre of IT and change agents across the government, there was a need to get them to understand where the management philosophy was moving. So we've used this detailee process as kind of an academy-style governance structure where people rotate in for 3 months, 6 months. They get involved in evaluating business cases so they understand where we're trying to go, what the criteria are. They get involved in our architecture analysis, a component-based architecture analysis, so they understand a look across the agencies. It's a different view than you get if you're in one of the agencies. They can go back to their agencies, take back that view, carry with them that enterprise change management approach.
Mark, what can you tell us about your specific responsibilities as associate director?
I think there are five major ones that were laid out in the announcement for my job. I'll go through them very briefly. One, I am the director for the CIO Council that comprises all the CIOs from the executive departments and agencies. Second, I'm responsible for the president's expanding e-government management agenda item. So I'm the e-gov czar, if you will, for the federal government, for the president. Third, I oversee all the IT spending in the federal government, and we base those responsibilities essentially on a GAO best practices reports. That's the General Accounting Office, and for many years they've done best practices work on how we should better do IT in the federal government. So essentially, while I don't have the title of CIO, we don't have those kind of titles in the federal government, but it's basically what you would see at a large enterprise as a corporate CIO.
Mark, you've been in the legislative branch. You're now in the executive branch. You've been in private industry. Can you tell us a little bit about your career?
I actually started out doing project or consulting type work, and one of my summers in college, I had the opportunity to come to Washington to work at a Department of Interior agency on a project. And while I was there, I saw how they were doing budgeting. In school, we would have said, boy, that's erroneous. And I thought, well, there's a career here. I could drive a lot of good reforms and do a lot of good things because I thought I had a good education. So I was lucky enough to get a second federal summer internship at another department or agency. I went off to grad school. I was actually, I got my master's in public policy. I was going to stay and then get a PhD and do tax policy and come back to the government doing tax and other economic policy. But while I went to school at University of Chicago, and while I was there, we laid out very clearly in the economics training that you had to really want to get a PhD. Economically, it was not a good use of your time. You had to do it because that's really what you wanted for your career. And so I instead went more on an operations research track. When I finished up at grad school, I was lucky enough to be offered a spot in what's called the Presidential Management Intern Program. And I went into the General Accounting Office as one of the National Security Division Presidential Management Interns. That program gives you 3 to 6 month projects, and you rotate through generally at a relatively high level. During that time, I worked on a number of major government planning, acquisition reform type studies. I stayed there for a little over 2 years. I left to go to a company called Task, which has since been incorporated two or three times over into other defense consolidations. But I was doing professional services, operations research for the Defense Department. From there, I went to another defense contractor, did similar work for the Office of Secretary of Defense. It was 1990. Peace was breaking out all over the world. And through my contacts from when I was at GAO, the Senate Governmental Affairs Committee and the senior Republican Senator Roth was looking for someone who understood performance-based management concepts and understood it in the defense environment. I was heavily into that. So for the next 7 years, that's what I did on the Hill. I went out into industry to help implement a number of the management reform laws related to that. The Clean and Cone Act, also called the Information Technology Management Reform Act, the Federal Acquisition Streamlining Act, a number of other bits and pieces of performance-based management concepts. While I was at IBM, the e-business wave hit the public sector, so I led that for the public sector at IBM. Spent a few months at Unisys doing a very similar thing for them when I got the call from the White House to come over and take this role.
So big jobs in a couple of big companies before you came back in government. Why'd you come back to government?
This is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity for any good government reformer, as both of you know. The opportunity to have the senior policymaking position to oversee and drive a lot of those reforms is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. This is a new job. I'm the first person in it. And it is, I believe, a unique once-in-a-lifetime experience, and it has been in the 11 months today that I've been there.
That's a good stopping point. It's time for a break, but rejoin us in a few minutes as we continue our discussion about management with Mark Foreman of OMB. Do you know what e-government is and why it matters to the President's management agenda? You'll find out when we ask Mark as the Business of Government Hour continues.